As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the 30th pick, the Buffalo Bills select.
Backs up on first down, is pressure, and slung down at the 5. The pass rush gets home. That's big Kenneth Grant.
Cook pumps, throws, Burton in space. That's where you want him to get the football, and he takes it to Niles. Klubnik lets it go deep, and it is intercepted by the All-American Malachi Starks.
Play action for Ewers on second and 10 to the end zone. Waiting for it and bringing it in is Matthew Golden.
Nussmeier given a lot of time, and that's up for grabs and picked off. Trey Amos takes it right back.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy draft day. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. I'm wearing my wide receiver train golf polo. Not expecting a wide receiver to be drafted. I designed this shirt. I didn't just find a shirt with trains on it. I designed it. You want the full story?
Did you pick out the actual train image?
I did.
And then the colors, I'm assuming.
Yes.
What about, like, how detailed was this? Like, the size of the trains?
Yes.
Okay.
Worked with a buddy of mine, started a golf shirt company. And okay. They'll be at Resurgence tonight when they get a look at this shirt. It's also got this. Check this out. See the little button here?
Oh, the train button.
It's a ball mark.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's pretty sweet. I
need a ball mark?
Always lose my
magnets right in there to your button.
I have to have the magnet ball marker.
Well, or else I will now it's an accessory part of your shirt.
Yeah.
He showed me this idea. I was like, that's actually brilliant.
That's a great idea.
Can I make a shirt with trains on it?
I think I like that better than the hat. Because usually there are hats where you could put the ball marker, magnetized there. I think I'd rather have it on the button.
Yeah. Speaking of golf, you can get the Odyssey VIP golf card. It benefits PGA Hope. PGA Hope introduces and teaches golf to veterans and active duty military to enhance their physical, mental, social, and emotional well-being. So you can make a difference in purchasing the golf card, helping PGA Hope. It's a $129 purchase. You get $328 worth of stuff. 18 at Diamond Hawk, 18 at Shamrock Hills, 18 at Attica's 10th hole, Golf Dojo Indoor for an hour, Encore Vero X1 golf balls, Bobolink 18, Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse, $25 gift certificate, and 18 holes at Destroyer Park Golf. So all that to benefit PGA Hope, and it's $328 for $129. We will be heading out to Diamond Hawk for the first time. The four of us.
Yeah.
Big match tomorrow.
First time this year.
For the four of us?
Yeah. Well, at Diamond Hawk. Yeah,
that's right. Obviously. That's right.
Great track. Very excited for that. Yeah.
I think Birdie.
But we have to decide what game we're playing.
I think we'll play 13.
Yeah, 13's a good one.
I would list on my all-time...
I don't think many people know 13,
though. We're about to educate people. On my all-time golf accomplishments, birdieing the 18th hole at Diamond Hawk is like top 5.
Oh.
It's like one of my top 5 achievements in 30 years of golfing is a birdie on that hole.
I don't even know if I have a par on that hole in my life.
It's a tough one.
I've played it a lot, yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely don't.
It was probably in a round where I shot like 98, but whatever.
Was it a birdie where like you chipped in or like no you just played the hole well?
It was a bomb drive and hit it to 12 feet and make a bendy putt.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah, get the WGR VIP golf card. Go to getmyperks.com to do that. So 13, how do you play 13 before we get back to our draft conversation? I was introduced to 13 last summer, and then I started playing it all the time. Like I introduced you and we played it all the time. 13 is a very simple game. The four of us will play with handicaps. Mm-hmm. And when a hole is over, you decide if you're going to keep that hole or you're going to X it out. Mm-hmm. And you keep 13 holes and you X out your bad holes. But you have to decide right away. Right, you double bogey one, X, get it out of here. You know, bogey two, that's a hard hole, fine. All right, I'm going to keep a bogey. You know, what am I kicking out? And the fun of it is when you get late in the game, you know, you've got five holes left and you only have one X.
Mm-hmm. You might have to cross out some good holes.
You double bogey number 14. All right, I'm going to exit. I'm going to ready for this? Bet on myself.
Yeah.
That I'm going to just play in from here, stroke play.
And not have a blow-up hole.
Exactly.
Right.
And not give this round away.
Yep.
Betting on yourself. Also known as just praying to God I don't.
Yeah.
That things go right. So, yeah, maybe we'll play 13 tomorrow. Excited. We'll be talking about the draft. We'll be more rumors. We'll be talking about the Bills having traded up to number 2 for Travis Hunter. I can't wait. I'm just excited.
Or they haven't picked by then, which is also a possibility. Teams are gonna want that fifth-year option for their quarterback.
If they don't pick.
The Giants and the Browns, like they would be dumb, almost in my opinion, to not give something. Even if they knew, Shedeur Sanders is going to fall to us in the second round. You still trade up.
Fifth-year option.
Yeah. Trade a fifth-round pick to move up two spots and get an extra year of contract control. That is super valuable. Because if the quarterback hits, you're going to want that in a big way. So the Bills picking at 30 to me is a ton of ideas falling down. Hunter, by the way, too. Eric Gelko, Optimum Scouting. He runs, formerly Optimum Scouting, I think. He runs the what does he run now? The Shrine Bowl. He's the director of football ops player personnel for the Shrine Bowl. And he tweeted in the last few minutes, like, many are finally coming around to Travis Hunter, that he will play and can play wide receiver and corner in the NFL. Otani Wembanyama level, rare, unique, culture change franchise, off and on the field. He is Miles Garrett, Calvin Johnson, the best non-quarterback prospects in the last 20 years. I read that and I thought, are the Titans making a mistake? Not picking him at number one. If that's true, maybe they don't agree. But if that's true, and this dude is like all-time level prospect, he is rare and unique as it comes, and you're going to draft a quarterback that's a pretty good quarterback prospect, but he's not like a slam dunk.
Yeah.
He's not Andrew Luck.
He's pretty good. He's a decent prospect.
Should they be picking the non-quarterback?
You should never pick the non-quarterback.
Even in this instance, even where it's like this dude is once every 10 years.
All due respect to Brett Coleman, who I love and had a great point. Like, watch Josh Allen. If the quarterback isn't as good as that guy or you can't see him getting to that level, then don't pick him.
Right.
It's easy to say don't pick the quarterback, but reality is teams overdraft quarterbacks and then get lucky because the guy develops or catches whatever, gets all the right development steps. Isn't Allen that? Allen was no slam dunk. Allen was raw. He doesn't play well against big competition. His throwing motion needs work. His footwork is a mess. You know, you get this guy, you're taking a chance. Sure, he's got a big arm, but there's not a lot of... It was Dan Orlovsky. Now that it's draft day, let's revisit that draft day. I always tell the story. The number one person that scared me off of Josh Allen was not some analytics guy. It was Dan Orlovsky, who said he's not playing quarterback. He does a lot of things quarterbacks do. He doesn't really do a good job at playing quarterback. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see the hot read. He doesn't do this. And I thought, I don't know, man. That's kind of scary for the Bills. So that's why Allen was scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the highlight. Like, look at this. This is quarterback 101. He doesn't see this. He's not doing this. This is a guy with all traits, doesn't know the position. Okay. I'm scared. And, you know, when they drafted Allen, I was scared.
But to Coleman, like, the aliens battling each other you know, back
he's
and forth.
He's talking traits.
Because that is Allen. The Allen pick is if we get him to learn all of that,
yep.
and we get him to know how to play quarterback and play the position the right way, because of his arm and athleticism, he could be a freakazoid.
Right, but the truth
is, Cam Ward is probably going to be pretty good, but the idea that he's ever going to be a guy like that is probably not possible.
But there are going to be so many teams that fail doing that. Isn't that Anthony Richardson? Hey, look at the freakazoid.
Yeah.
It's already over.
But that can happen for even the guy that isn't like a freak. Like Kenny Pickett wasn't that.
No, that's right.
And he's flamed out in 2 years, and they probably would have thought, oh, that's a safe, secure. What was said about Kenny Pickett? Oh, he's pro ready. He's pro ready. They showed him the NFL. Like, no, he's not good.
Yeah, they said that about Mac Jones, pro ready.
Yeah, and sometimes the pro ready guy is just as likely to fail as the guy with the traits.
Right. Well, that's part of my point. It's easy to say you shouldn't take the quarterback. Like, well, what should I do? Like I have to field the team here. I need a young quarterback. If I sign Sam Darnold to $40 million, you'll be mad at me for that too. What am I supposed to do? When you're in quarterback purgatory, Bills fans know what mm-hmm. he's supposed to do. Draft EJ. That didn't work out. Okay. Draft Lossman. That didn't work out. Okay. Sign Fitz.
Well, the Bills didn't take enough swings along the
that's
way.
That's
right.
Like that's right.
But to your point, like this would be the swing, right? Cam Ward is the swing. Like you want to take a lot of swings.
You are at bat. Yeah. When you're up there, you got to take the guy. If you don't take the guy when you're up there, you might. This is the Steelers' problem, is it not? The Steelers are always picking 20th.
Right.
They're never up there to get that guy that they actually need, so they take Kenny Pickett in a year with no quarterback, and then what happens? Like, it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. If there's a guy that you could justify number one, you should do it. You got to do it. 803-0550. Like, think about
what you're supposed to do instead point is the one.
What am I supposed to do instead?
I could get to in a vacuum saying, like, I should take the unique all-time great prospect in Travis Hunter over the pretty good quarterback prospect in Cam Ward. But then my next step is what I'm doing under center. And if I'm Tennessee and I pick Travis Hunter number one, I honestly don't know what I would do.
You probably trade back up into the second and try to get Shedeur Sanders or try to get Jackson Dart.
Sure. Right.
Which
I guess.
I read earlier that there might be a staring contest or a game of poker between the Giants and the Saints. Who's going to get Jackson Dart? That seems to be what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to get back up to get him? There's one report the Saints would slide down so then they could pick at 12 or 14 and then move back in.
Mm-hmm.
So the intrigue for the quarterbacks and how it affects the Bills, are at 30. Let's say Cam Ward goes. And then who's the next quarterback that's definitely going to go? Sanders?
Oh, it could be...
Dart?
It could be one of three. Because it could even be Milroe.
Could be.
Someone could fall in love with Milroe and all the points we just made about Allen even. Like, isn't that kind of Milroe a little bit? Milroe is, I don't think his arm is nearly as big as Allen's was, but it's big.
Yep.
It's for him, it's more about the speed and the athleticism. Someone in the last couple days said he's faster than Lamar Jackson, right? Like, which he might not be, but he might be close. That's the athlete. And if someone's thinking like Brett Coleman out there, like I need the battle of the aliens, so I need somebody with traits, then I could easily see Milroe being the second guy. So, yeah, Sanders, Milroe, or Dart could all be the number two guy. And you have three teams at least, that are all probably in that mix. You do often get a surprise team that's in the mix at quarterback too. Right, like that could be the Rams this year.
Rams,
Seattle,
Seahawks.
Sure, yeah. A team we're not really thinking about for that right now, but that could get in the game.
The deeper we go before the second quarterback gets picked, like we're at number 23. It's time to start watching multiple teams who wants to jump out of here and let a quarterback get taken, right?
Because
it could be the 25th and the 27th picks go quarterback because teams jump up. And every time that's one thing. If you want the Bills to trade down and take advantage of this jumping back into the first to get your quarterback with the fifth-year option, you have to hope that other teams don't also want to do that or do it more. And if there's only – this is the thing about 12 first-round grades. You're Bean. You might be thinking out there like, oh, easy. Move down. One of these quarterback-needy teams going to move up to 30. Maybe. Or they'll move up to 25, 26, and 29. And now the market's stretched. You're done. Well, take your guy at 30 because no one's coming up for this player. And also, by the way, if that does happen, that four quarterbacks go because three guys get jumped in for
–
that's actually good news for your board for the Bills. That means that's three defensive tackles or corners or whatever that slide further to you. So We should be rooting for four quarterbacks to go in the first round. Five, shout out Kyle McCord. No,
he's
probably
not going in the first round.
Probably not, no. No. Mike on his cell phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I love your talk about the fifth-year option situation, and that's my biggest problem with last year's draft. I mean, if you think Keon Coleman is going to be a stud, trading back to the second round and picking him, you lost the fifth-year option on the second most highly paid position in football. And to me, that made no sense. The little bit that they got to move back to give him a four-year deal instead of a five-year, fifth-year option just made no sense to me.
Yep.
I mean, if you really think the guy was going to be your star, you need to take him in the first round instead of the second round. The difference in salary is so minimal between the 30th pick and the second pick or the third pick of the second round. The amount of money that you'd save on that fifth-year option if he's a stud wide receiver is astronomical. And just that to me, made no sense at all last year.
Thanks, Mike. To that point, what's the most likely thing that happened? Again, like, we don't get the full internal conversations. They tell us what they think. They traded down one spot.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what they got?
With Carolina? What'd
Carolina.
They get?
They moved up from the sixth round pick number 200 to the fifth round pick number 141. So they moved up. They moved up 60 spots from round six to round five, and they picked Cedric Van Pran Granger.
Okay,
that's what they got for. It's not a bad point. Like I in my opinion, that is invaluable enough to pass on. If I hit on this player, I have an extra year of control.
Well, this is where. What's the most likely thing that happened? You tell me that deal. Hey, if we drop down one spot, we move up 60. In from the sixth to the fifth. That seems like a pretty big win, pretty big move. All right, why do you do that? Because you don't know what you're going to do with the 32nd pick. And when you get to 33, you have a... All right, let's take...
Another team, by the way, that's picking the position that you're going after.
So what do? You take that deal and you say, let's talk about it, let's all sleep on it, come back and decide what we want to do.
Right.
The reality is that it's very unlikely they wanted to take Keon Coleman at that moment. He would have been on a list of... five players. Let's reset, talk about it all day tomorrow. We have till 7 p.m. tomorrow to decide what we're going to do with the first pick of the second round. They decide, Keon Coleman. But if you knew you're going to take him, I think the point is exactly right. Is it a fifth-year option? That's what made Rousseau easy to do. What do? They put the fifth-year option on Rousseau, and then they get to work on a contract because he's comfortable knowing he's going to make money. They can work to undo the cap and move things around. So I think it's a fair point. And the most likely scenario is they were not set on Coleman when they made the trade. They slept on it, talked about it, 10 voices in the room, 6-4, 10-0, whatever the vote would have been, they land on Coleman. Maybe Ladd McConkey was a consideration. Maybe Cooper DeJean was a consideration. Maybe...
they go back and watch tape that whole day afterwards.
Like, couldn't it have been Cooper DeJean? They go with him, and then late in the second, they take their receiver. They go safety receiver instead of receiver safety. Could have done that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I mean, Kevin Costner in draft day, he's ready to pick the quarterback until he goes up to the podium and he drafts Vontae Mack. I can't believe I watched that movie.
I have not seen that movie. I have a...
The best meme from it, though, is the little sticky note of Vontae Mack, no matter what. You just replace whatever you want with...
yeah.
Blank, no matter what.
I do have a, have you seen this movie for you?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer to this is definitely no.
Is it Airplane?
No.
See, they're making a remake of that with Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Liam Neeson in a comedy movie. Okay, good luck.
How many comedies is he in?
I don't know how much range that guy has. I mean, maybe.
The chat will
back. Wait, he's never been in a comedy, right?
I don't think so. The chat will back me up on this. The chat... I don't know what the demographics are of the YouTube chat, but I feel like it's a little more my age, even though it's on YouTube, than yours. Ready for this? Have you seen...
Naked Gun, by the way. He's coming out with a Naked Gun.
Oh, that's
not
an
Airplane. Sorry.
Okay. Have you seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, yeah. Right.
I mean, it sounds wild. I'm not going to lie.
It's wild.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves, George Carlin.
No clue.
Whoever the guy that was Bill.
No. No. What's the year? What's the year on this?
Oh, 1992 is a guess.
Okay.
Check it. Wait, maybe even earlier than that. 91?
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure came out in 1989.
89, I would have put it, okay.
89, we're in the 80s.
The biggest, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, yes. It's a movie about time travel.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah. San Dimas High School. What am I saying about Bill and Ted's? Whatever. The thing about Bill and Ted's is that Bill looked like a Ted and Ted looked like a Bill. And that was always the thing to me.
Okay, so it's a time machine movie, though.
Yes. Right. They have a.
Because on the picture, it looked like some version of Night at the Roxbury.
I mean, it's like a bro movie. Yeah. It's like a Dude, Where's My Car? It's like a. With historical references and George Carlin and Back to the Future comedy slash. Be excellent to each other, Bill and Ted.
Like it's a little bit of everything.
Why did I think of that 2 weeks ago and write it in my notes? Like, be sure to ask Joe if he's ever seen Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? No chance.
They were in a band called the Wild Stallions.
Okay.
Should you see it?
No.
Why? It's funny. I mean, it might have been funny in 1989.
I can't. The sitcoms from that era, they just don't. Unless it is like all-time great, they don't hold up. Unless you got to have the nostalgia factor. If you are, you're like, oh, I used to laugh at that. Huh? If I've never seen these jokes before, there's just no chance.
Yeah, you might be right.
Was this Blues Brothers for me? Or is Blues Brothers supposed to be something you laugh at? Because I watched that movie for like an hour, and I didn't laugh one time. I'm like, I'm out.
Same thing. Blues Brothers is a little, little before me.
But Animal House, I think, is great.
Animal House does.
Yep. So, like, some of them do, but...
Blues Brothers is, like... my favorite movie ever, and I can't believe you guys don't love that movie.
I mean, do you laugh at it, though?
I don't love it.
Yeah.
I laugh at it.
In many points. When, what's her name? Pulls out the rocket launcher?
No idea.
Come on!
Carrie Fisher
is the girlfriend, and she's chasing her. It's unbelievable.
The rocket launcher. The rocket launcher might have been when I turned it off. I'm not going to lie.
I went as
that
the
might
Blues
have been the moment.
Brothers.
All right, this is enough. Enough of this. Oh, they've got a bazooka out now.
Oh, I can't. I'm so hurt and disappointed by this.
You ever seen Weekend at Bernie's? The chat's asking that one.
No.
That's good. I mean, that's, you know.
That one I at least know the concept of.
That's
though,
like,
because
that's
it's
like
been
2 hours of the same
times.
Concept. It's, you know, Weekend at Bernie's.
They're all the same.
What you're saying is how These I feel about movies. Slapshot. I watch Slapshot. I'm like, it does nothing. Nothing for me.
It's fine.
I just turn it off.
I don't feel anything about Slapshot, but the Blues Brothers I will defend with my life.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll jump through my glass window into the studio and fight you guys right now for that take.
Yeah.
Settle it on the golf course.
Yeah. There we go.
We'll make a bet. Loser's got to watch Bill and Ted's.
I'm going to come in a Blues Brothers
not a punishment
suit.
For you, though.
No. There's a sequel. That's
no,
how,
he's
got to
watch.
It's so good they made a sequel. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey was the sequel.
All right. Bogus Journey?
Yeah, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. That was the sequel to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Loser has to watch...
Holiday Touchdown.
No, I'm not doing that.
All right. When we get back, we expect to hear from Bills minority owner and announcer of one of the fourth round picks and American soccer phenom and an Olympian and World Cup.
Yeah.
Josie Altidore. He's calling in.
Awesome.
Next.